Now we're going to talk tech. Fevzi Turkup is with us, editor of GadgetDetective.com. And this Ofcom survey, then, what's the top line, Fevzi?
So this is an annual survey that Ofcom do about use of social media and other online activities. The headline stat, I guess, is that only 49% of adult social media users now actively post or share or comment. That's down from 61% in 2024. Oh. It's not that we're using social media less. I think it is that we are using it differently. It's become a lot more passive than before. So it's more like entertainment, like television. You know, you'd like passively consume it. The algorithm will serve up things. And, you know, we've seen the rise of video shorts on various channels as well. So I think it's partly in line with that, but it's quite a big drop, 61% to 49%. So less than half of social media users now actively post, which I think is not necessarily
a bad thing. As you say, there's still a massive amount of social media, and probably as a business, it's growing. But I can concur with that. I think that people maybe don't want to be quite so exposed. I think there's been so much sort of trolling and all of that sort of stuff going on that I think the average member of the public is a little bit more nervous about their footprint as well.
Yeah, or aware, I would say,
because
they're also, where they are posting, they're making increased use of sort of ephemeral posts that only appear for a certain period of time and then disappear. People are becoming more aware that, you know, these things can come back to bite them when they go for a job or they're in a new relationship or something. You know, it's very, very little good will come of having your past plastered all over for everyone to be able to pick over. And we've seen a lot of people lose jobs over it, right? Whenever something goes wrong, someone's picking over and they said, well, you know, 25 years ago they said this.
Yeah, and politicians as well have been caught time after time after time with something they said once, probably weren't really thinking properly, or they did actually believe it, and then they end up losing their job as a result.
Yeah, so, but I also think, although the survey doesn't say this, I do think people are spending a little bit less time on social media because we've seen an increase in the amount of people that are using AI systems, you know, large language models like ChatGPT and others. And for the first time now, that's now at 54% are actively using AI. So, I think that, you know, people are using social media a bit less, although these figures don't actually say that. But if they're spending about 4.5 hours a day online, then that's obviously going to be divided up.
Is that right? 4.5 hours a day online?
Yeah, it's quite a lot. It depends how you measure it. I mean, in a sense, we're online all the time, aren't we?
Depends what you mean by that. Yeah,
and also it's probably worth saying that Ofcom have actually raised a flag and said the way that they measure some of these statistics changed this year, so it's not going to be precise saying it changed from this to this over 1 year. But it tells us, I think, it still tells us the trends. But still, you know, 97% of 16 to 34 year olds still using social media. So it's not dead and buried. But I do think there's also.
I'm just checking my screen time, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
mine is 8 hours and 42 minutes daily average.
Well, I'm sure you've spent it very well.
Well, that includes, I mean, I only watch television on computers and iPads and things, so that's watching films and TV, and it's playing games. It's almost no social media at all for me, but it is doing work online. It's doing work reading papers and all of that. So, but it's 8 hours, 42 minutes. If I ask Calum, our producer, he says it's 12 hours 35, TikTok being the highest. So, yes, there we are. It would be zero for me. Yeah. But I think Calum's probably fairly typical of that generation.
Right, and these sort of social media shorts, you know, reels or whatever they're called on the different platforms, they are highly addictive. I mean, that algorithm knows how to push our buttons and does a very good job of it. I also think that, you know, we were talking last week about the jury verdict that found social media platforms were responsible for some of the decisions and for their product design. I think that's going to increasingly play on people's minds as well, that they realise that there are real harms. And the young lady who brought that action was using it for 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
So it's basically sleeping and then doing that.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting survey, and I mean, that's quite a significant shift. The other thing I should mention, though, in my particular case, and I think it might be for quite a few people, I've gone off the kind of social media posting things like Twitter because I don't like the direction that Twitter has gone. It used to be quite fun and a reasonable exchange of views, and I think it's become quite poisonous now, and I very rarely go on it. And the other ones haven't really taken off, so that's a reason for me.
So I use X or Twitter, but just for literally telling people about, you know, radio appearances and so forth. I don't share anything personal on any of them. And I agree with you. I mean, X has become a very toxic platform. It's a great shame. And the shame of it is that, you know, you try things like Blue Sky and other alternative platforms, but, you know, although they are better in terms of toxicity, they don't have the critical mass that's required to make them really useful.
No, absolutely. Now, let's have a look. You are the gadget detective, so you've picked out a gadget to review. What have you picked?
I love this one. So it's from a company called Aqara. It's just Aqara. And it's a home security camera. It's a 4K home security camera, so it's one that connects to the internet. It's got dual lenses on it, so it actually looks like a little face. In fact, if you look at the picture, it's got ears that make it look like a rabbit.
It does look like a white plastic rabbit.
Yes, although you can take the head bit off it, you know. But without the ears, it looks a bit like Kenny out of South Park.
Yes, it does. Yes,
it's got these two eyes, and the two eyes that it's got is one of them is a 4K camera, and the other one is a 2.5K camera, and you can combine them to get 9K and 9 times zoom. But also, this camera does panning, tilting, and zooming. And because it's got AI built in, it can recognize a cat or a person and, you know, track them across the room if that's what you want to do, or recognize their faces, again, not by uploading the data into the cloud, but doing it all on the device. So in privacy terms, that's great. And also, it's got a privacy mode where the eyes roll up into the head, and then you see a little closed eyes, and you see a little mouth, which is actually an SD card slot. And what you can actually do with it is you can store the footage, 24/7 footage, if you want to record it. You can store it on a local micro SD card, which is a little one, it's about the size of your fingernail on your pinky. You can store it on a NAS, which is a network attached storage. So some people, even in home environments now, they've got a box with a load of storage in it, which attaches to the local network and allows you to back up all your different devices. We were talking, I think, last week about World Backup Day, and this is actually quite a good way of doing it. So it can back up onto that, or you can send it up into the cloud if that's what you want to do. So I think the other thing about this which really stands out against its competitors is that it's a multi-platform device. So most smart cameras and smart devices are part of an ecosystem. So you can be with, Google Nest, or you can be with one of the other ones, but they don't interoperate. What this is not only a camera, it's a hub built into it that uses certain standard technologies like Zigbee and Thread. And what that means is that it can act as a bridge across different devices. So, for example, if you've already got Nest cameras, this can integrate into your Nest camera system and appear in the same app and the same panel as all the other cameras. But then when you go and switch to Apple's home set up, then that's really useful as well.
Can I ask you a fundamental question here, though? What's the point of it? Why do I want cameras? Where would I put them? What does it do for me?
Right, so this is an indoor camera, so you have it inside your house. So it enables you to, I mean, I have these, you know, all over my house, not this particular model, but indoor cameras. They're useful to see what's going on when I'm away. If you've got a pet,
you can check whether you're being burgled or...
Yeah, and also it will actually detect certain types of sounds, so breaking glass, baby crying, coughing... Okay. Certain types of sounds, so you can get an alert saying what it's heard as well. So it can be used as a baby monitor. I suppose that's maybe why it's got the rabbit ears. Although it reminds me of the rabbit out of Donnie Darko, and it's a bit scary for that reason. But you can use it for those reasons. You use it for home security. You use it to communicate with your pet when you're away. You use it to keep an eye on your children.
And where would you... position this then, do you think? But on the front door or on your living room, or
no, this would be
it out the window, or
no? So there are indoor cameras and outdoor cameras, and then there are doorbell cameras.
Camera, obviously. So the indoor cameras, it's for keeping an eye on your home when you're away. You can kind of dip into it.
Yes, although you could have it so that let's say you've got a driveway. You could have it so you can see if the lights on your car on the driveway flash and someone's taking the car. So right. You know, you can use it for that. But it's mainly if you have a break-in, it's good. It's obviously good for that. It's good to deter. You need to, strictly speaking, you should have a sign up saying you've got CCTV on the premises, by the way, to be strictly compliant, that people should be aware that they're being filmed when they're in there. But I think it's just so useful. I can tell, for example, by using one of these that looks out my front window, when are my bins being collected? Was there any issue? Well, doorbell camera is extremely useful. But they form a part of a set of cameras that give you a much better idea of what's going on around your house. And also, you know, if you've got people working in your home, maybe you've got people who come in and, you know, clean or do some odd jobs or something, it enables you just to be aware of what's going on when people are coming and going.
And is there a privacy issue here, though? Do you worry that you've got cameras all over your house? Somebody could potentially tap in and be spying on you.
Yeah. I mean, there is always that. I mean, this camera and the cameras that I use are what's called end-to-end encrypted. So it should be that even as the footage flies through the air, as it were, it's in a scrambled form. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it should be nearly impossible if it's correctly configured. But also... that's why I pointed out that you've got the option of storing everything locally. Two of the three types of storage for this are local, either the micro SD. The
problem, so you're not sending it anywhere.
Yeah, but it's a balance of risk, because the problem with storing it only locally is if they take the camera.
Yeah. You've lost the footage.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I think that it's worth having multiple approaches, but I think we were saying this about backups anyway, you know, this 3-2-1, three copies of the data on two different platforms on different locations. So you need to have the ability not to lose it, because, you know, also if there was, God forbid, there was arson or something went on, again, you know, the footage would be lost. So the ability to store it, if privacy is your main concern, then you store it locally. If the robustness of the data and its likelihood of surviving an incident is your main priority, then use the cloud and you make sure that it's correctly encrypted. But it is difficult because, you know, these systems are open to abuse. I would say that a camera like this is less open to that than, say... you know, one of the big brand ones, if you say my meaning. Because, I mean, you'll know that some of those have got and have had agreements with law enforcement where people can, without a warrant, tap into your cameras. Now, that can be your doorbell camera, but which in itself it shows a lack of privacy, because then they can see when you come and go. It might be HMRC want to have a look at, you know, are you really what is, you know, doing what you're saying you're doing. But it can be so much more than that. So inside your home, there are privacy breaches that can take place. So it is a balance, and I think some people would not be unreasonable to say that, you know, it's not for everybody. For me, the balance of risk is that it's there. But also, for example, if you're looking after an elderly relative, even if you're in the same house, the ability to check in on them without going into the room and disturbing them, or if you don't live with them, the ability to check on them when you're at work or whatever can be very reassuring.
Yep, absolutely. You know? What's this one called again?
So it's from Acara, and it's called the G350, and it's a dual lens camera hub. They refer to it as a hub because it's got this hub in it which allows a connection of all these different standards to the same device. It's very, very impressive. This Acara brand is not, to be honest, not well known, but actually I'm growing to love it more and more, just because of the quality of the lenses in this case, but also the flexibility for it to, you're not trapped into one ecosystem. Like if you have Google Nest stuff, usually you're stuck with Google Nest stuff, you know, be it your thermostat or the cameras or your doorbell. With this, you can start to bridge those systems and over time maybe migrate to a completely different system, or just have one that's not proprietary and completely agnostic when it comes to brand. And I think that's really valuable, because that also cuts down the ability of any one company to know everything about you, which I think is also valuable.
Absolutely. Fevzi, thank you. Fevzi Turkalp, who is editor of GadgetDetective.com.